Broadcasting live from the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in the ASTD International Convention and Expo.
Lee Cantor here with Stunt Peyton at ASTD 2014, hashtag ASTD 2014 in Washington, D.C. Stone, how you doing?
I am doing well, man. This has been a blast. The last day and a half, we've caught up with some old friends. We've made lots of new ones. It is our distinct pleasure to introduce the Senior Manager of e-learning for Athena Health, Mr. Ted Henning. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, thanks.
All right. So get us caught up a little bit. You know, some 10, 12 years ago, there probably wasn't any such thing as a senior manager of e-learning, but now it's such an important aspect of training and development. You got to have somebody in charge of this thing, don't you?
So from what I understand, I'm still looking for them. Yeah, I run the client-facing training for Athena Health. We're a cloud-based EMR, electronic health records, electronic medical records company, based in Watertown, Mass. And I have a team of instructional designers, LMS administrators, technical writers. It's a lot of fun, actually.
So now, has this healthcare thing affected your business any, or not at all? Any adjustments?
Yeah.
Another day.
The healthcare thing, the Obamacare healthcare thing.
Look.
It's actually, there's been a lot of initiatives that have been in place the last, even before Obamacare came in, to get doctors onto electronic health records, medical records, and so there's something called Meaningful Use, which is an initiative to get doctors to get on, start doing electronic record keeping and reach a certain proficiency at it, and the government actually is paying doctors.
Right, they're incenting them to move in that direction.
To move in that direction, yes.
Is it working?
It's working. I mean, for us, it's working. We've been growing at 30% a year for the last 15 years, so it's kind of a crazy pace.
Now, your career probably didn't start in e-learning arena, did it? Did you do something before e-learning?
I did, actually, yes. I started off...
Just learning,
yes.
Edit the E later.
Yes, I was reading books. No, mm-hmm. I actually originally started... I produced video games. I was in Los Angeles, produced video games. And
now I'm glad I asked. Yeah, I gotta know more about this. Yeah.
And then did produced animation and virtual worlds. And it doesn't sound like it has a lot to do with e-learning, but actually it did, just in terms of the project management of all that, because you work with diverse teams, from designers, programmers, artists, and be able to sort of wrangle all those groups into a single vision.
A lot of moving parts in both of those places, right?
Absolutely. And then involved in that, I started the training and development department for a upstart software company, which was had fantastic software, just not enough money to actually...
You can't hold a job, can you, Ted?
I can.
That's what it sounds like.
I like to move around. Well, then I left California. That was the big... I fled across the country back
right.
to the East Coast. I was actually a freelance ID outside of Boston for a long time. And then ended up at Athena Health, and it's all been gravy since then.
So now, how have you seen when a company goes from instructor led to e-learning? What is that transition like, or how do they do that in an effective manner?
It's an interesting question.
It's got to be tough on some of them, right? The ones that have really defined themselves by being good presenters and all that.
Where they get the energy from the group in person, and now you're telling them to do it.
I mean, it's a different skill set. So you have trainers and instructional designers, and I think the economy and the scale really brought e-learning into the forefront, because you just couldn't afford to send trainers out everywhere. Certainly in our business, mm-hmm. we have doctors' practices all over the country, and so there's no way, and we bring on 200 or 300 new doctors a month.
So you have to train the doctor.
We train everyone in the office. We train doctors, nurses, front desk staff, billing
and
staff.
And it's the same training methodology for a doctor to a person that's the staff member?
Pretty much. I mean, we train them to how to come on live in our system,
mm-hmm.
right? So doctors are special learners. They have
special
learners.
That's
they're
what
special.
You call
them? Yes. Well, doctors have a certain sense of.
Do you have to write like real sloppily so they understand everything?
Yeah. No, doctors have, you know, doctors obviously are, you know, they're very smart people, and so they have, you know, a sense of how they want to want to learn. And but we really look at the end user and try to design the learning to that particular, you know, the skill set that they're going to need.
So then how do you get the information out of the technical person's brain and translate it into a doctor's brain?
Well, what we do, like, we're cloud-based, so we actually release a new version of our software every month. So all of our clients...
You've got to be kidding me.
Whether it needs it or not.
Every month?
Every month.
Yeah, unbelievable.
It's pretty crazy.
It's changing that rapidly?
It is. I mean, that's actually one of our big differentiators, is that we actually are always up to you know, the latest regulations, the latest rules, you know, everything that's and constantly improving our software. So our process for that is we have a team of tech writers who do really extensive release notes every month. That are much far beyond the normal release notes. They're much more detailed, step-by-step oriented, and then so they work very closely with what we call PIs or product innovators, who run a team of developers, and so they pull all that information, they pull all that you know, all what the changes, and then they translate that from programmer speak to usability speak, and then they release that, and then we sort of use that as our basis to update all of our e-learning, create new e-learning courses, update our online.
And then
help.
Do they, the medical offices, is this on demand? They learn on demand, or is there scheduled classes that they have to?
It really depends a lot on the size of the practice. Most of the smaller practices, it's all on their own time frame.
Right.
So they'll go in and they'll take with the larger practice. A lot of large, like enterprise clients, tend to have their own training departments. You know, and so they'll sort of design the training and do their own, you know, their own on their side.
So content decisions, I mean, broad stroke, handed down from on high, or are you getting pushback from your learning community? Where do decisions about the content that you're going to develop and distribute come from?
From both, actually.
We have.
We'll get. And we have a, you know, the sort of set number of courses right now. We have about 100 different courses, and those are set. And then we'll occasionally get requests from different groups for additional courses. We'll sort of examine those requests, see if the course is the way to go, or a different type of training for that. We also listen to our clients and our doctors and our you know, their support staff. And we have a community which we just launched, which has been really great to get feedback from them. We have just had our user conference. And you know, when we try to do, you know, we try to find out where the weak points are in our training and supplement those and improve them.
Now, do you have any tips you can share for somebody going, maybe implementing an e-learning for the first time?
Yeah, let's save them some of the headaches you had to live through, if we can, right?
It's I don't think we have enough time for
one
that.
Tip.
One tip.
At least he didn't say don't.
What shouldn't you do?
Don't do this.
Do not do this. That would be ridiculous.
Do not start developing the course before you fully designed it.
Yeah, that's a trap.
I think you really need to spend the time before you go creating the storyboards and getting feedback and making sure that you're actually addressing the needs of the learners before you actually start jumping into some tool and creating some fancy animations or. You know, and it's stuff like that.
I know, but that's so fun, right?
When you find
that's the cool part. Or an animation.
Exactly. You want to have, like, oh, look, and Bob, like, goes over to the, you know. Unfortunately, there's an overwhelming...
It's the cavalcade. Shiny object.
Exactly. There's a cavalcade of horrible e-learning out there. And the challenge really is... I think the challenge that we're really facing is going from the e-learning idea to the performance support idea, and that's really where I'm focused on right now. Is we have all this e-learning, but as everyone knows, you forget, you know, 90% of what you learn.
Yeah, and why are you doing this for them to learn?
Right,
not
exactly.
Just to do it.
Right, exactly. They need to know that, you know, to know our system. So we're actually in the process of implementing a learning content management system, which I'm really excited about.
Any gamification?
He loves that word. He doesn't even know what it means.
I know.
Well, I would think you would like it, Mr. Video Game Guy.
Believe me, it's a cool buzzword, and I'm very impressed that you know that, actually. The problem that we run into with gamification is that We need to be a trusted partner for our doctors, and if all of a sudden doctors are playing some sort of what appears to be a game,
right?
Because we bandied this about a lot.
Yeah.
I think it works a lot better internally in a corporation. So internal training,
right?
Because you can have fun with that. Those are your employees. But if all of a sudden, you know, because doctors have a wide range of senses of humor.
Right. Really? This is breaking news.
I know, yes. And so I think that we need to be very cautious about how we would introduce
something like that. You don't want to diminish what you're doing.
Right.
Right. You don't want to trivialize it.
Yeah. And gamification doesn't necessarily do... Right. Working with the insurance companies is a blast. I think that there are definitely ways to
do it in a not fun way they can accept.
The most boring, like Scrabble or something. Right. Really, really not the exciting game.
Now, do you get that phone call from the senior leadership and or the
No, they don't know who I am.
So that's good.
They never call me.
Well, I was just wondering if you find yourself defending or coming up with some kind of formula for demonstrating return on investment or the fact that the training is working, or are you finding yourself in those conversations?
Absolutely.
Even though you're growing at 30%, they're keeping track of that?
Yeah, they
you
absolutely
just keep
are.
Pointing to that?
They absolutely are saying, look,
we're growing at 30%. Get off my back.
No, we're spending money, though. We're not making money. E-learning doesn't make money. So it's we definitely have those conversations.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. It's really important I think it's important from both sides. It's important for them to ask those questions, but it's also important for us as a group, as a training team, to say, okay, are we doing the right thing, and keep measurements and keep looking at those analytics and saying are what we're doing effective? Because as soon as you don't do that, you become complacent, and you just sort of throw any crap out there, and it's not good.
Right.
So I think I think that's why I'm sort of trying to update and change all this stuff, because to me it's about the client experience, and about coming in and having good experience both from a learning standpoint but also from just an encounter with our software and with our training, so when they go into it they have the confidence and they have the understanding that they're going to do a good job with it and they're going to be successful. And that, to me, that's so any way I can continue to improve that is
right.
What I'm looking
the
for.
Outcomes are what matter.
Right, exactly.
And that you got to stay focused on that. So what do you see, anything ahead that you see in the horizon that's going to be interesting on e-learning? Any developments, any shiny object out there that got your eye?
I think for us it's going to be utilizing the new LCMS in pushing out much more personalized, much more customized learning. Mm-hmm. The idea of adaptive learning is really interesting to me, where because it's getting rid of this sort of one-size-fits-all idea. And really look at what the client knows already. Because let's say there's someone who was at another practice, was using our products. When they come in, there's no reason for them to fully train on it.
Right. They should already be almost there, right?
Test out of it, give those areas that they were weaker on. Give them supplemental training. Give that just in time context based training where you're in the system. And you're like, oh, I forgot how to do that one thing that because I only do this
once
one
in a
process
while, right?
Once in a while, and then you sort of pop up that that quick video or
and then oh I got it that's all I needed
that's all
was
I
that
need.
Just like right. minute thing
don't need to make
reminder,
that phone call to the client support center.
Now what about all the devices? Or is that any challenge for you guys when it seems like every 5 minutes somebody's got a new device?
Right. The mobile learning is an interesting thing for us because our system is computer based. Right, so we do have a tablet version for the doctor's encounters, but majority of it's computer based. So to train on a phone or on an iPad is a totally different tactile experience, totally different encounter with the software than you would if you're on a computer. So, but there are a lot of uses for mobile. The idea of like a job aids,
mm-hmm.
So if if you're working and you can have like a series of job aids that are bookmarked for your specific tasks, and whenever you run into a problem, you pop that up on your phone, you look at it, and go, oh, that's how I do it. So I think there's ways for us to do it, but it's not. I think soft skills are a lot easier to train with mobile than actual system software training.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Henning with Athena Health. This is this has been a lot of fun, man.
I've had a great time.
Well, we've learned a lot. You have a great deal of energy. You obviously thoroughly enjoy what you're doing. Before we wrap, a couple of things. I want to make sure our listeners know how to reach out and learn more about what you guys are doing over there at Athena Health. And also, what are you going to do with the balance of your time here?
I'm actually on a plane at 5.
So okay.
All right, so we've got to get you out of here.
Yeah,
I'm going to wander around the floor and talk to some people about some shiny objects.
There's right, no shortage of that here.
Is it as simple as athenahealth.com or what's
athenahealth.com.
All right. Well, Ted Henning, thank you so much, man. This has been fun.
I appreciate it.
All right. We will be back in a few from the show floor of ASTD ICE 2014.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.